Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another exciting, amazing, awesome, stupendous, action-packed, death-defying, phenomenal, stupendous, amazing episode of Pro Wrestling Nation. I, of course, am your host. My name is Funky Sam Medina. I am thrilled and excited to bring you Pro Wrestling Nation, a weekly pro wrestling podcast where we discuss news results and you never know who's going to stop by the studio. What's up, people? What's going on? I have a special non-wrestling guest for you this week. That's right, I said it, non-wrestling guest. I'm sorry, you guys, I gotta branch out a little bit. I'm a huge fan of her, though. Sarah Russi, she's a professional bikini and lingerie model. She is the host of Beauty and the Beast on the VinceRussoBrand.com. She is, so basically, she is a wrestling guest. She's just not a wrestling fan. She hosts the Beauty and the Beast with Vince Russo and Scott Casey Gale on the brand.com. For Vince Russo, it's a fun show. They have a lot of exciting, good chemistry together, the three of them. And Vince Russo busts balls. Vince Russo attacks these people verbally, not the guests, the hosts, Sarah and Scott. Vince Russo mercifully attacks these guys. It's really fun. If you like to hear people get attacked, then definitely check out Beauty and the Beast. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on iTunes. It's funner on YouTube, though, because you get to see Scott making weird faces into the camera, not paying attention, and Vince Russo getting angry. And it's definitely a good time. So I have Sarah Russi coming up for you guys. We sat down. We talked for a while. We talked about modeling. We talked about Vince Russo. We talked about her doing different conventions. We talked about people she's met. Guests about her show and stuff like that. So it's really fun. It's really awesome. It's really exciting. So check that out in a few minutes. I'm going to get into the WWE releases. There's been a whole bunch of releases. Not a whole bunch, but a few. I'm going to get into that after the conversation with Sarah. And I'm also going to get into a little bit of Payback. Let's do Payback right now, though. Let's get Payback out of the way since it was so long ago, right? Let's get Payback out of the way. But before we get into Payback, I want to say that Pro Wrestling Nation is a weekly pro wrestling podcast where we discuss news, results, and you can find it every single week on iTunes, Stitcher, Beyond Pod. The new app for Android, the podcasting app, Pro Wrestling Nation is available on there. RedDragonsRadio.com, and of course the home base, Gerwick.net. That's GERWECK.net. Gerwick.net, your number one source for pro wrestling news since 1997. Go check out Gerwick.net right now. They have a lot of cool stuff going on. Like I said, I've been preaching this to you every single week. If you haven't been paying attention, which you should have been, Teddy Long is a recurring guest on the Gerwick Report podcast. And Teddy Long is so much fun to listen to, you guys. He has strong opinions, and he has all kinds of stuff. Let's do some news. Do you guys want to hear some news? Bobby Heenan is doing okay. He is in the hospital. There's been rumors going around Facebook and online that he passed away. That is not true. Let's see here. His wife tweeted, somebody created an article saying Bobby has passed away. Just letting you all know that that is not true, and he is very much alive. At Cynthia_Heenan. That's from his wife. So Bobby Heenan is well and okay. And the source of that was, of course, Gerwick.net. What else we got going on? Jim Cornette got into it with these guys here. He was online and he was attacking... who was he attacking? Oh, he was attacking Kenny Omega, saying how Kenny Omega is a disgrace on the business because he wrestles children and he wrestles blow-up dolls and stuff like that. And Ricochet chimed in. Well, first Kenny Omega kind of put Jim Cornette in his place, and then Ricochet chimed in and said, hey, that match Kenny Omega had with the blow-up doll was the greatest thing I've ever seen, better than anything Jim Cornette's ever done. In fact, I'm going to go watch it right now. And then Jim Cornette says, oh, wow, another wannabe flippy-do wrestler. Giving his opinion. And then Ricochet responds back with, hey, I'm not a wannabe flippy-do wrestler. I am the flippy-do wrestler. So Ricochet, he has a good sense of humor. I really like that guy. Jim Cornette is just kind of out of control right now. You know how Jim Cornette is, always trying to stir up controversy, kind of like Mr. Vince Russo. These two guys, there's controversy surrounds these guys, whether they're trying to or not. You know, the Vince Russos and the Jim Cornettes of the world. And I just wanted to talk about that because I thought it was fun. I thought it was funny. I read that online and I thought it was pretty funny. Let's get into Payback really quick. The first match of WWE Payback. Well, we had. Let's. I'm sorry. I'm getting so ahead of myself and so confused. Last week I had on WrestlingExpress.net's very own Michael Klinko. There we go. That's who I had on. And we talked about Payback. We talked about how Ryback was upset about being on the pre-show, and they turned around and put him back on the pre-show in this one. So Ryback lost to Kalisto in the United States title match. I didn't see the match. I did see highlights. It seemed like a pretty okay, decent match. I still don't, like, I'm sorry to Kalisto, and I'm sorry to anybody who I offend. I don't see Kalisto beating Ryback. Like, they've built Ryback up as a monster, and Kalisto is half his size. I really honestly don't see Kalisto beating Ryback, but, you know, he did it. He hit the Samurai del Sol on him, and 1, 2, 3, here's your winner. And still, United States heavyweight champion, Kalisto. Also, Dolph Ziggler beat Baron Corbin in the pre-show. I was surprised this match was in the pre-show. I was watching the pay-per-view, and then later, then they're like, oh, yeah, earlier in the pre-show, this happened. And I'm like, wait, what? And so that happened. So let me update you guys a little bit. No, let's keep going. Let's talk about Ryback later. Ryback kind of is on the outs with the WWE, but let's talk about that after this. The first match on the card was a tag team tournament finals, and it was Enzo Amore and Big Cass, Colin Cassidy, versus the Vaudevillains for number one contendership for the WWE Tag Team Championships. So the winners goes after the New Day. And in this particular match, it was a good match, you know. Enzo was on fire. Like I said, my prediction was that the Vaudevillains would take the win because Enzo and Cass are more bulletproof. And I think the Vaudevillains need this win more. There was a spot in the match where Simon Gotch was throwing Enzo out of the ring. And Enzo ended up bouncing off his arm off the middle rope, hitting his neck. I think he hit his neck on the bottom rope, and he was out. He was completely unconscious. I didn't even see it. I wasn't even paying attention. My girlfriend's like, did you just see that? And I'm like, what happened? She's like, look. And they replayed it about 50 times. It looked like Simon Gotch was throwing Enzo out of the ring. And Gotch thought, like, I don't know what's going through these guys' minds, but, you know, this is what I think. Steve Austin had a good take on it, too. But this is what I think. I think that Gotch thought Enzo was going out on between the middle rope and the top rope, right? He was throwing him out of the ring, and Gotch thought he was going out high. Enzo thought he was going out low. Enzo thought he was going out the bottom. And it was just kind of, they met in the middle, you know? And Enzo got caught on the rope, and he hurt himself, and he was unconscious, and he was laying there with his eyes open. It was so weird. It was so bizarre. But the announcers, they seemed legitimately scared and worried about Enzo's health. They got Enzo out of there on a stretcher. And then it felt a little bit surreal after that. It felt a little bit like, wow, you know? It was kind of hard to move on with the show just because that thing with Enzo, and it was kind of scary, and you know, Enzo's brand new and everybody loves this guy, and it's just really scary, you know. And then Kevin Owens comes out. Kevin Owens is good friends with Enzo Amore. They're road buddies. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Kevin Owens travels with Enzo and Big Cass. They travel together, and they're good friends. And the next match was Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental... No. Non-title. I'm sorry. Non-title. So they have these two guys come out here. And they're professionals, man. They come out there. They have a great match. A fantastic match. This match was probably the match I was looking forward to most on the card. Because I didn't know who was going to win. Anyways, let's move on. So these guys go out there. They have a fantastic match. Kevin Owens gets the win. 1-2-3. Pop a power bomb, and the win. And then after the match was over, who was it? Bryan Saxton goes in the ring to interview him, and Kevin Owens shows him where to stand. You stand here. And Kevin Owens repositions Bryan Saxton. And at first, I think he's like going to beat him up or something, but he just kind of pushed him and repositioned him. And then Kevin Owens is like, get on my good side. Get on my good side. And he interviewed him about the Intercontinental title and about the match and whatever. And he was like, you know what? Since Sami Zayn is done, I defeated him. I've proven that I'm a better man. I'm going to go back after my Intercontinental Championship because I'm due a rematch. I haven't got my rematch yet. And so then Kevin Owens decides he's going to do commentary for the next match. And if you've never seen the Kevin Steen days of PWG, you are missing out. Because Kevin Steen, a.k.a. Kevin Owens, he used to sit on the commentary table often. He would sit there, he would do commentary, he would talk, and he's always very, very entertaining on the commentary table. He's always so entertaining. He's funny. He talks smack. He puts himself over. He puts the match over. It was really, really good. It was good. So seeing Kevin Owens on commentary in WWE, it's amazing. I love it because it's a throwback to the PWG days. It really is. It's really fun. It's really awesome. I'm going to drink some water. Sorry, you guys. I'm getting parched. I think I have to look up the card because I don't remember what was next. Oh, Cesaro versus Miz. I'm like talking about it. I don't remember. Cesaro versus Miz for the Intercontinental title. Now, I'm going to comment on Cesaro's entrance. I love it. I love how the little thing follows him across the stage. And he looks like James Bond and he rips off the thing. I love it. I know a lot of people hate it. It's kind of a ripoff of James Bond. But I think it's absolutely awesome. I love it. I love it. Miz's new character is amazing too. Miz has been kind of stale and kind of boring lately. They bring Maurice back in. Maurice. And I feel like whenever I say it, I feel like I'm saying Maurice. Like the dude, like Maurice Claret. But it's Maurice. And she's cool. She's charismatic. She has a lot of stuff going on for her. She's a throwback. Definitely a throwback. Welcome back. And I feel like she has rejuvenated his character. And I feel like with her presence there, his character is so much better with her there. He's gotten stale. And he plays off of her. She plays off of him. They make a great team. So I'm really glad that she's back. And I'm really glad that she's in his corner because she definitely makes The Miz a lot more interesting lately. And The Miz, oh, it's funny because The Miz was at the point where he was going to tap. The Miz was going to tap out. And Cesaro had him in the crossface, I think. I want to say the crossface. And, I'm confusing myself again. Just before this happens, hold on 1 second. I don't really need earphones because I'm not listening to anything. I'm just talking. I'm just talking, you guys. Right before this happens, Kevin Owens is on commentary still, and Sami Zayn runs out of nowhere, and he just jumps on him, and they just start brawling at the commentary table. And it's kind of funny because you're like, well, why couldn't Sami Zayn wait? That's kind of a heelish move. But you know what? He was trying to get his dignity back. And that's his character, man. He's the underdog that he just keeps fighting and keeps fighting and keeps fighting. And he keeps coming back. That's who he is. He's not a taxi driver, Vince. He's a he's a fighter. And he just fights and he fights. And you can't keep the guy down. And that's his character. And so at this point, Cesaro gets the Miz in the crossface. And Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens enter the ring, just brawling. These two are just brawling. And the referee gets distracted. Miz is tapping out, but the referee doesn't see it. And Cesaro lets the hold go. And one thing leads to another. Skull-crushing finale. 1-2-3. And Miz is still the WWE Intercontinental Champion. Sorry, you guys. I was going to sneeze. I'm trying not to sneeze. I don't want to sneeze, everybody. I don't want to sneeze on mic. Okay. And I'm also distracting because I'm looking for the results of Payback. Because that's as far as I memorized. I want to say the next match is Chris Jericho versus Dean Ambrose. But let me look at my results here on Wikipedia. Results. I'm looking at the wrong thing. Okay. Dolph Ziggler beat Baron Corbin. Kalisto beat Ryback. Enzo Amore versus Enzo and Colin Cassidy versus the Vaudevillains ended in no contest. Kevin Owens defeated Sami Zayn. The Miz defeated Cesaro. Dean Ambrose defeats Chris Jericho in 18 minutes and 28 seconds. You know, this feud, this whole Dean Ambrose Chris Jericho thing, it was kind of rushed. You know, they did it kind of fast, and it was all over a talk show and a plant, and it was kind of weird the way it went down, the way it happened. But it was a good match. These two guys went out there and they tore the house down. And I feel like Dean Ambrose is probably a lot more comfortable in the ring with somebody like Chris Jericho over, you know, somebody like Brock Lesnar. And these two guys, you know, they did good. I don't remember what the end of this match was. I'm sorry. But I know that Dean Ambrose got the win over Chris Jericho. Charlotte defends her women's title against Natalya. Charlotte had Ric Flair in her corner, and Natalya had the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be, Bret the Hitman Hart in her corner. And no, it was not Jason Sensation dressed up like Bret. It really was Bret Hart. He was there. He had a good time. I remember a couple weeks beforehand, he was saying publicly that he didn't want to do it. He really didn't care to do it. I listened to his podcast, The Sharpshooter Show, and he talked about how much fun he had and about how much quality time he spent with Triple H. They sat down and they hung out and they talked, and he sounds like he got a new respect for Hunter, which is good because Hunter is kind of the key now to coming into the WWE. He said that Hunter and Stephanie were very respectful of him. He almost sounded surprised. And it's like, you know, the whole cancer scare with Bret. Maybe they decided to appreciate him more. You know, maybe they're like, oh, well, you know, these guys, these legends, they're not going to be around forever. We have to, like, take care of them while they're here. Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? Anyway, so the match, it was a good match. Natalya was going to win. And then at some point, Charlotte puts the sharpshooter on Natalya. And the referee, Charles Robinson, little Nate, he calls for the bell. And nobody tapped. Nobody submitted. The next night on Raw, Charlotte brought out Little Nate, saying that there was controversy about the victory last night. And let me ask you, did Natalya submit? And he goes, well, she didn't tap out, but she was screaming, I quit, I quit, I quit. So I naturally called for the bell. And then Natalya came out, and she talked about how she's going to beat up Charlotte, and she's going to fight. She was about to fight Flair. She told Ric Flair she was going to fight him, and then Ric Flair took off his jacket. He took off his Rolex. It was perfect because Ric Flair took off his jacket and his Rolex and his Hall of Fame ring, and he rolled up his sleeves, and he was like, put his dukes up, and then, bam, Natalya slaps a taste right out of his mouth. It was good. It was a perfect little setup for that. Natalya was claiming that they paid off the referee, and there's going to be a rematch. And in the rematch, Ric Flair is going to be banned from ringside. So we'll see what happens when Ric Flair and Natalya... Well, no, I mean, sorry. When Ric Flair is banned from ringside and Natalya has a match against Charlotte, we'll definitely see what happens there. Oh, also, at the end of the Payback match, Bret Hart got Ric Flair in the sharpshooter, and Natalya got Charlotte in the sharpshooter. So we had stereo sharpshooters, which was really cool, you know. These two hearts putting the sharpshooter on these two flares right in the middle of the ring. And up next, we have the main event. Are you guys ready for the main event? AJ Styles. Nope, they don't want none. They don't want none. Nope, they don't want none. Taking on the Roman Empire, Roman Reigns. The WWE World Heavyweight Champion, Roman Reigns versus AJ Styles, the phenomenal one. The phenomenal AJ Styles. Now, you know, as much as I love AJ Styles, and I do, you guys know, I'm a mark for AJ. I wasn't really into this match because I know that Roman's not going to lose the belt 1 month after he wins it to AJ Styles, you know, of all people. And it was a good match. It was a pretty good match. At one point, okay, I'm just getting ahead of myself again. So before this match happened, Vince McMahon came out and he was going to decide who was going to win Raw once and for all. Was it going to be Shane? Was it going to be Stephanie? Well, what Vince's decision was, it was going to be Shane and Stephanie. They have 50-50 say, and he wants to see them rip out each other's throats. So this match is going on, right? And at one point, AJ does the phenomenal forearm. I hate the phenomenal forearm. I'm sorry, AJ. I just don't like the phenomenal forearm. I like it. I just don't like it as a finisher. I really don't. Anyway, so AJ does the phenomenal forearm to the outside. And Roman goes to the table. Something like that. And AJ is trying to pick Roman up, but Roman's like unconscious because AJ is so strong and he knocked him unconscious with his forearm. They're really trying to get that move over. They really don't want him to do the Styles Clash. They really, really want to get the phenomenal forearm over. Oh man, I'm getting tired. Where was I? So AJ tries to get Roman up, but Roman's just dead weight. He can't do it. So AJ rolls into the ring. 9, 10, ding, ding, ding. Here's your winner by count out. The phenomenal one. AJ Styles. And so then Shane comes out and Shane's like, I don't know how they did things in the old era, but in the new era, we're not going to end this match on a count out. Restart the match. No count outs. And then later on, at some point, Roman low blows AJ. You got to wonder if Roman did this on purpose to get himself disqualified or what happened, why this happened. And they didn't really follow up with a low blow on Raw. And then Stephanie came out and she's like, oh, hell no. Things ain't ending like this. This is the new era. And in the new era, this match will not end by disqualification. Restart this match. No count out. No disqualification. So then that leads to Gallows and Anderson coming out and hitting their finisher on Roman. And that still wasn't enough. Because you got running around, jump around, phenomenal forearm, spear. 1, 2, 3. And here's your winner and still WWE World Heavyweight Champion, the leader of the Roman Empire, Roman Reigns. Now, my prediction did not come true. Finn Balor did not debut. He did, Gallows and Anderson did not beat up AJ. But they do have a rematch coming up at Extreme Rules. So far, Extreme Rules, they've announced Natty versus Charlotte, no Flair. They've announced AJ Styles, the phenomenal one himself, versus Roman Reigns, and a rematch for the WWE title. What else is happening in Extreme Rules? Do we know, you guys? Do we know what other matches are happening? I hope I can distract you long enough to find out. Because all I have to do is go here, click on this, and yeah, so that's it. Those two matches, plus they've also announced Big E and Kofi Kingston, the New Day versus the Vaudevillains for the WWE Tag Team Championship. So that should be fun. Extreme Rules match for the WWE Championship, AJ Styles versus Roman Reigns, and submission match for the Women's Championship, Ric Flair is banned from ringside, Charlotte versus Natalia. So that's what we have so far for Extreme Rules. I'm excited. I'm kind of excited. You know, Payback was really good. It was a lot better than these pay-per-views have been lately. The past year or so. So I'm going to go ahead and give Payback a thumbs up. If you haven't seen Payback, and if you don't have the network, I say you spend $9.99 right now. Go watch Payback. Because I swear to you, if you haven't seen NXT TakeOver Dallas, and you spend $9.99 on the network, that one show alone will be worth it. Plus, you get WrestleMania 32, WrestleMania 31, TakeOver Brooklyn, TakeOver London, TakeOver whatever else takeovers they had. Unstoppable, Respect, Arrival. You know, all those takeovers. Like, you go watch WWE Network for $9.99, and it is worth it. It is definitely worth it. It is definitely worth it. All right, you guys. I'm going to go to my interview now with Sarah Russi from Vince Russo's brand. She is a host of Beauty and the Beast. She's a professional model, And she's here to talk about her modeling and her podcasting. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go to my interview with Sarah Russi, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to talk about the WWE had a release party today, and I'm going to talk about that, because some names got released, and I'm going to talk about their potential, where they can go, what they can do, and what kind of impact they can make. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest this week, she is a professional bikini and lingerie model. She is a host for Vince Russo's The Brand, Beauty and the Beast. She's the beauty, of course. Ladies and gentlemen, Sarah Russi. How you doing, Sarah?
Hey, thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for showing up. I appreciate it. How's it going today?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Awesome. I'm doing well. Where are you calling from?
Boston.
Oh, Boston. Wow, that's pretty cool. Did you grow up in Boston?
I did.
Nice. How's life out there on the East Coast?
I like it, except for the weather. Yeah, it's pretty cold. Yeah.
I'm out here in sunny California.
I'm jealous.
It's okay. I'm jealous, too. Just kidding. I like to be on Vince Russo's. I'd like to be Vince Russo's beauty, you know?
Yeah, so, you would like to do a show with him?
I like to be his beauty, yeah, definitely.
What does that entail?
Hold the phone, show my nose, you know, the usual. I like how you bust your balls all the time, but let's get into that a little bit later. So you are a bikini and a lingerie model. How do you go, like, growing up, how do you get into that? Like, was it like a dream of yours, or did you just fall into it?
Well, it was something I wanted to do ever since I was younger. And I kind of wanted to do fashion modeling, but I'm too short for that. So I just started doing bikini and lingerie modeling when I was 18. My mother paid for my first photo shoot. And that wasn't like a bikini photo shoot. That was just like a regular dress photo shoot or whatever. And that's pretty much how it started. I put my photos up online and people started reaching out to me for more shoots and more work.
Wow, so you just did a photo shoot and you just put it out there, huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. So how tall do you have to be a fashion model?
You have to be at least 5'6", I think.
How tall are you?
At least. I'm about 5'1", 5'2".
Oh, okay. So I guess you can't do the fashion thing, so you're going to go ahead and, you know, nobody can say no to a beautiful girl in lingerie, I guess, right?
No. They can't.
So being 18 years old, right, and putting your pictures out there online, I would imagine you get a lot of, how you say, like, fake people, like creepers. Did that happen to you a lot, like, in the beginning?
Well, it's easy to sort of weed out the creepers, because you can just tell by the things that they write. You know, they sound unprofessional when they write you.
Oh, that's true. They probably don't know what a professional model person sounds like, who talks like.
Well, if someone, like, doesn't use periods and correct grammar and spells things, I would assume they're not professional.
You probably didn't graduate high school, so I don't know how you're That's pretty cool. So how long have you been doing this now?
I've been doing it for about 5 years.
Wow. So you're pretty successful in the modeling industry then.
I guess so. I mean, when I first started, I was a bartender for about 2 years. So I was doing that on the side.
What was the bartending like for you? Was it not as fulfilling as modeling?
No, I thought it was very stressful. I didn't like bartending.
Oh, because it's a fast-paced environment, and you have to, like, get drinks, and you have to remember all the drinks and stuff like that?
Yeah.
What's your favorite drink to make?
To make or drink?
Both.
I like margaritas. I like to make martinis the best, though.
Just because, oh, really?
Yeah, I like making martinis.
That's pretty cool. I've never had a martini before.
You never had one, ever?
Never have had one, no. It's crazy, right?
What if I made you a cherry martini? How does that sound?
Oh, it sounds fantastic. Just email it to me. I'll go ahead and drink it through my email.
I think that may be a little too girly for you. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm very partial to an Appletini. One of my favorite wrestlers used to come out on TV and drink an Appletini, so I kind of always wanted to have one of those.
Well, that was what I was going to suggest next. I like apple martinis. They're like the only martinis I'll drink.
Really? Why is that? Just the taste?
Yeah, I think I don't really like the taste of alcohol that much.
Yeah, I'm more of a beer person myself.
Beer? I love beer.
Oh, I love it. It's such a it's disgusting, but it's acquired taste. Definitely acquired taste.
I like wine.
So I have a couple. Oh yeah, that's definitely a girly drink. I have a couple questions here from one of my friends at BSW Report, and it pertains to the beginning of your modeling career. So let's just shoot to those real quick. Steve says, when you started modeling, who was your inspirations?
I really like Kate Moss.
What do you look for?
As far as like lingerie and bikini models, I don't know if I really have an inspiration. I like a lot of them, but there's not like one in particular.
What would you look for in like an inspiration? Like, is it the way that somebody they look, or like a certain style, like a hairstyle or makeup style, or just the way that they carry themselves, the way that they promote themselves?
Well, I really like Kate Moss's style. I just liked, you know, the way her body looked. Like, I loved the way that she looked.
Also, he wants to know, how nervous were you in the beginning of your modeling career?
Nervous to do what? To stand in front of a camera?
Yeah, just kind of to put yourself out there because, you know, at this point you're 18, you're young, you don't really know the world too well, and you're kind of putting yourself out there. Was that scary for you?
No, not really. I was actually excited to do it. I mean, I wish I knew what I know now back then, though.
Yeah, just, what's that, like, just different ways to carry yourself and stuff?
I would just do things differently, I guess.
Yeah, techniques and whatnot. I mean, you're right, because I've been doing comedy for about 6 years, and if I had known in the beginning what I knew now, I'd be way better now, you know?
Yeah.
So where do you go? Like, do you travel for the modeling? Do you do it from your own home? Do you go out different places? Do you go different states? Because you said you're in Boston. In that area, there's, like, all the states are, like, within, like, a couple blocks of each other.
Yeah, I do travel. My boyfriend, he lives out in Vegas, so I travel there. And I travel to New York a lot. But I also have a place that I can use for photo shoots in the Boston area.
So is it mostly you doing the photo shoots in the Boston area and then kind of sending them around to different places?
No, I have like a place, like an indoor place. Is that what you were asking me?
Yeah, like you do them at your place in Boston, and then you just kind of like send them out to different people, and they just buy them from you?
No, they don't buy them from me. Usually the photographer hires me.
Okay, so the photographer comes to you, and he kind of takes the pictures, and then that's how you do it?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't really know how this modeling thing works. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I've never talked to a professional model. I've talked to a lot of amateur models, you know, like selfie girls, but never a real professional model. It's kind of an honor, you know?
An honor?
Definitely an honor. I'm a big fan of yours on Aww. the Vince Russo brand. I love the chemistry that the
Thank
three
you.
Of you have. It's really fun. It's a really fun show.
Yeah, he does bust my balls about the camera, and because when I film that, I can see all of myself, but when it comes out, I can only see like my nose and my tits. But I actually fixed that in the last episode. I found a better setup. I got a stand.
And oh, you did? Did you get a selfie stick?
Background. No, it's like a camera stand.
That's pretty neat, though. That's still pretty cool. So now it just stays in one place, and you're just going to stand in front of it. Is that on the new episode, the Build a Mont one?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't seen that one yet. I like on the last episode where the camera was showing your nose and a little bit of cleavage, and Vince Russo puts, Sarah says that she never puts the camera too low.
What do you think about the guests that I've had so far? Are you a fan of any of them?
Johnny Fairplay. I'm definitely a big fan of Johnny Fairplay. It was a really fun episode. Before we get into that, though, let's tell people about your show a little bit. You do guest, or not guest host, you do host of the Vince Russo Brand's Beauty and the Beast with Vince Russo and Scott Casey Gale. Is that his name?
Yes.
Got that right? All right, I was trying to memorize the guy's name. And it's been about, what, 10 episodes or so now?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've had on there Johnny Fairplay. I'm a big fan of that one. That was such a fun episode. Johnny Fairplay was, you know, kind of busting your balls and stuff.
Yeah.
A little bit. He kind of got into it, you know, because he's a bad guy, you know, and he has to get that heat in there.
He is. He's so funny. I mean, that's why I had to have him on the show.
That one episode with the celebrity boxing guy, I don't remember his name, but that was a good episode too. He was very interesting, had a lot of good stuff to say.
Yeah, I've known him for quite a while. What do you think of Bill DeMont?
I haven't seen that one yet, but I do know of Bill DeMont. I saw you on his show, and he seems like he's doing pretty good with the podcasting thing. What did you think of the Bill DeMont stuff?
His podcast?
Or just your show and his show, yeah.
I really liked having him on the show. He's so funny to talk to. Vince wasn't on that episode. It was just me, Scott, and Jeff. But I actually talk a lot more in that episode, and it's so funny.
I wanted to ask you about that. In the beginning, because you definitely have improved in podcasting, and in the beginning you were, shy maybe, because, you know, this is a whole brand new thing for you, and you've kind of blossomed a little bit more, and, you know, you're asking better questions. In fact, you asked... I was applauding you because Vince Russo is always like, come on, Sarah, ask better questions than that. And then I think you asked Johnny Fairplay, like, you know, some question that he was asked a million times, and he kind of laughed at you about it. And you asked the celebrity boxing guy who his dream boxing match was, and I was like, I applauded you for that one because that was such a great question.
Thank you.
So how did you improve? Are you just doing it? Are you been practicing? You been getting some advice?
Well, I do get advice, but... When we first started this show, I didn't know what direction he wanted to go with it. I mean, I didn't know if I should ask, like, family-appropriate questions or if I should...
Oh, not with Vince Russo, no. Vince Russo wants controversy. The best thing that... The most proud of you he ever was is when you got that thing out of Johnny Fairplay, what celebrity he slept with. I'm not going to give that away or anything, but he was so proud of you for that one.
Well, I actually had a show on his network before I did Beauty and the Beast called Dirty Talk with...
I saw an episode of that. Was there a few episodes? Because I only found the one.
There was only one.
Okay. You had the guy from Alien Ant Farm on.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Alien Ant Farm. I listened to them ever since they came out, like in, what, 2000, 99, 2000, something like that. And it was really cool to hear your stories from... was he the drummer? I'm not sure who he was. But one of the band members from Alien Ant Farm. In fact, Papa Roach is one of my favorite bands. And Alien Ant Farm, I've always heard rumors about them being associated together. And I kind of got the confirmation from what I've heard from the guy on your show. It was really cool.
Yeah, I actually felt like it was kind of hard to just do a show by myself interviewing someone. So I'm glad that Vince came up with the idea for me to do the show with Scott and him, and that actually works better. I think it always works better when there's someone else on the show. What do you think?
You know, I do this show by myself just because I don't want to, like, have to schedule with a bunch of people, because then you've got, like, three or four people, then it's hard to schedule and stuff like that. So I just do this show by myself. I've done it by myself for, like, 2 years. And I have a good time with it, but I do enjoy going on other people's shows and having kind of a few people around and just kick around ideas and just talk smack and all that stuff.
Yeah.
How did you get started with Vince Russo? Like, did he just find you?
He followed me on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then he just said, "Hey, you want to do a show?"
Well, he asked me if I wanted to be on his show, Vixens Who Rule, and when I did that show, then he asked me if I wanted my own show on his network.
Oh, you did an episode of Vixens Who Rule.
Yeah.
I should go look for that. It's probably not on YouTube. I probably have to subscribe for it, but I should go look for that. Because I do enjoy Vixens Who Rule on Podcast One.
Are you a fan of his?
Yes, I have been a fan of Vince Russo since the late 90s, probably. There's a lot of controversy. I don't know how well you know Vince Russo's past, but there's a lot of controversy that surrounds him in the wrestling world. And I feel like he gets a bad rap a lot of the times. He's a little crazy, you know. I'm sure you know that more than I do. But he gets a bad rap, but I definitely am a huge fan of his. I really love just listening to him because, like, his opinions are so good, and just the way he talks, he's so entertaining. I can listen to him yelling about having to do the dishes on his podcast, and I'm just sitting there enjoying it.
Has he talked about that on his podcast?
On one of them, he talks about his wife leaving the dishes for him to wash because she thinks that he doesn't work because he doesn't leave the house. Yeah. It was on, I think, Bucketful of Chicken Necks a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay. I actually filled in for him for Anything But Freaking Wrestling on Podcast One last week.
I never found that episode. I don't know where that is.
It's on Podcast One, but it's exclusive, so I think you have to pay something like $1 a week or something.
Oh, you have to pay Podcast One?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why I couldn't find it, because I saw you tweeting or something saying that you filled in for Vince Russo, and I was like, oh snap, I bet that was pretty cool. How was that for you?
It was alright. I mean, I wasn't really prepared. Jeff, he hosts it with Tim, and he asked me if I wanted to do it the same day, so I was just like, okay, I'll do it.
And so what is that, just a show where you kind of go on there and just rant about whatever's on your mind?
It's about whatever's, like, going on during the week. But I feel like I should have researched better so I could have better opinions, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Vince Russo could go on there and he could rant about anything. He could rant about going to the store with his wife, you know. And, yeah, you know, it takes time, but you'll get it. You'll get there. You definitely are improving a lot more with your questions and the personableness on the podcast. What's it like working with Scott Casey Gale?
Interesting.
Yeah, it is, I bet.
I like how he rips up bags when he's angry.
He does? I didn't even see that.
Well, if you watch the Bill DeMott episode in the beginning, okay. He does that. He rips up a bag because he's angry at me for being 20 minutes late.
Oh, wow. I liked how he was interviewing Johnny Fairplay and he just burps into the microphone and Vince Russo just ripped on for that one. He's like, wait, Johnny, did you hear him just burp?
I was, like, embarrassed when he did that. I was like, oh my god, I can't believe he just did that.
So who have you had on Beauty and the Beast?
I've had Disco Inferno. Are you familiar with him?
Disco Inferno, you have?
Yeah.
How did that get by me? I must not have seen that one.
I didn't upload it to iTunes yet.
Oh.
It was one of our first episodes. I've been watching them on YouTube, too.
Yeah, I've been watching them on YouTube.
Yeah. You should be able to find that on YouTube. And then we had Fairplay, Damon Solomon, Bill DeMott. But some of the episodes, we just did it by ourselves. So those are the guests that we've had so far. Who should I bring on my show next?
You should try to interview just Vince Russo. I think that'd be pretty cool, just to talk about his past and about wrestling and stuff.
Just interview him? Well, I think one episode we actually did.
The one where he's complaining because you wanted bigger guests?
It was episode 2, I think. I'm not sure. Okay. Oh, we interviewed his co-host, Jeff.
Okay.
Who else should I interview?
You know what would be a good, probably a good interview would be, do you ever think about having Todd Bridges on?
No, I won't have him on.
No, why is that?
It's just
he
weird.
He might get embarrassed.
It's not, it's just weird to have, like, interview the person that you're seeing, I guess.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. You okay with that?
I don't know. I mean, what do you want to know?
Well, how long have you been dating Todd Bridges?
A few months now.
Okay, and how do you get, like, a boyfriend like Todd Bridges? Wait, let me rephrase that. How does Todd Bridges get a Sarah Russi?
Just, I meet a lot of people through Twitter. A lot of, like, interesting people. That's how I get most of my guests on the show, is through Twitter. So I've made a lot of friends in the industry over the past 5 years.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
We actually did a show together last summer. It was a TV pilot, and I was a court clerk in it.
Oh, wow. Did the show ever come out?
Not yet. I'm not sure if it's like an indie film or if it's a TV show. I don't know.
So let's get into acting a little bit. Have you acted, or just this one time, or have you done more?
I've acted. I took classes. I took classes at Boston Casting. I was on Brain Games for like a second.
Wait, what were you on?
Brain Games.
Oh, okay, I never heard of that.
It's a show on National Geographic.
Okay.
I went all the way from Boston to Philly overnight just to get there. Just because I was a fan of the show, and I thought it'd be cool to get on camera for a few minutes. I didn't know how long I was going to be on camera or if I was going to get on camera. I did pay.
Is it a game show?
Yeah, it is a game show.
So they use talent, or do they use real people, or how does it work?
They use real people. I actually saw the casting on realitywanted.com, so I applied there.
Because, you know, there's some game shows that they use talent agencies to get their contestants, and I'm just like, what the heck? This is not real.
I would love to be on more game shows. I don't have any shows, though.
What was it like to be on Brain Games? Like, you said you almost got to the end?
Well, there's different games for each episode. So I was only on there for a minute. I had to guess how many gumballs were in the machine. I was way off, by the way.
Oh yeah. You can never do that. You have to like have some kind of special powers to know that. How many jelly beans are in the jar? I don't know. Ask me how many jelly beans I want. Sorry, that's a Mitch Hedberg joke.
Who are some of the guests that you've had on your show?
I have had wrestling. You're my first non-wrestling guest. I've had, let's see, who would I have that you would have known? Oh, I've had Randy on. Randy works with Vince Russo, Randy Helms.
That
He's been on a few
familiar.
Times. Yeah, he does the Andre Corbeil show. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
I've had Diana Hart Smith on here before, who is the sister of legendary Bret the Hitman Hart.
Okay.
I just recently, do you know who Dolph Ziggler is? Probably not, right?
Yeah, I know who he is.
This past week, last week, I interviewed his brother. His brother used to be in the WWE, and now he's not, and now he's doing comedy and writing books and stuff. And so we talked about that a little bit. That was fun.
Who was your favorite guest that you've had on your show?
Jason Sensation, probably. Vince Russo had him on recently. He's an impressionist. He does impressions of all the WWE superstars from the past. And Vince Russo is the one who kind of discovered him in the first place a long time ago. And he was on Vince Russo's podcast 2 weeks ago, I think. And I had him on probably like a year ago. And he was so much fun to talk to. He does impressions of all, you know, all the legendary wrestlers and stuff like that. So I really enjoyed talking to Jason Sensation. Do you know who that is?
No, I actually don't.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're a 90s hardcore wrestling fan, you know, he's not too famous.
So who are some of the guests that you would like to have on your show? What about Fair Play?
Oh, you know what? I was trying to get fair play, and he even followed me on Twitter, and we've had a few conversations, but it kind of ended at that. He never really got back to me, and I don't want to bug the guy. I was trying to get China. I don't know if you've heard of China. She recently passed away last week, and I was kind of like talking to her a little bit and trying to get her on the podcast because I felt like she would have been a very interesting person to talk to. But unfortunately, last week she passed away.
Yeah, that was really sad hearing that. I did meet her before. She seemed
Oh,
really
you
nice.
did?
Yeah.
Where did you meet her?
I met her at Big Event last year.
Is that like a convention?
It's a convention and no, I'm sorry. I don't think it was Big Event. I think it was Chiller Theater. That's where I met her.
Okay, and she was there doing autographs and stuff?
Yeah.
How was she?
She was nice. I was working at Big Event. I mean, Chiller Theater. I was working at Chiller Theater too. And towards the end, my friend who had hired me to work at Chiller just had me come over and he introduced me. And she was nice. Oh, I didn't
Yeah, she
really
seems.
talk to her, like, I didn't really talk to her for more than a minute, but she seemed really nice.
Yeah, she seems like she'd be a nice person to just kind of meet and stuff and talk to you for a couple minutes. I don't really know about her personally. Vince did. I don't know if you've listened to it, but he did a podcast one episode about China, and it was a really, really good episode.
I
If you get a
did
chance,
the one last
it was.
week.
Yeah, definitely.
I listened to parts of it.
Yeah, if you get a chance, it's a really, really good episode. I really enjoyed it. In fact, I played it for my girlfriend even just so she could hear it because it was really good.
Who are
What's
some of
up?
your favorite wrestlers? And who should I interview that's a wrestler besides Vince
Well,
and besides Toss?
want to interview wrestlers? Is that what you're looking for?
Well, yeah, it's a show hosted with Vince, so it would be good to have wrestlers on. I think
Yeah,
that's kind of the theme.
I think Scott likes wrestling too, right?
Yeah, he's a wrestling
What about
fan.
you? Are you into wrestling? Not really?
No, not
Have you ever
really,
watched it? Like, have
actually.
there ever been a fan or anything?
When I was a kid, I used to watch WWE when I was a kid.
Okay, who were some of your favorite wrestlers as a kid?
I liked The Rock when I was a kid.
Oh, I don't think you can get The Rock. No offense. That's the era you used to watch when The Rock was around. The Rock
Yeah.
was actually one of my absolute favorites back in his day. And when he was a bad guy and everybody hated him, I absolutely loved him. That's the era that Vince Russo was the head writer, and I'm sure he has a lot of friends from that era that you could probably get.
Yeah, I've asked him for help with guests.
But I think you personally would be suited better, like a pop culture person. Like I really liked your interview with the Damon from Celebrity Boxing. I liked your Aileen Ant Farm interview. Do you know any other people in bands that you can interview? Because band guys are really good.
Well, this week I'm supposed to have a guy on the show. He goes by the name of Jive Jones. Are you familiar with any of his work?
No,
He's a
not offhand.
wrestler.
What does
Well,
he do?
he hosted an MTV show back in 01. He wrote songs for Mandy Moore and a few other pop stars, and
Oh,
he
wow.
had his own hit back then. But he told me today that he would do the show.
Well, that's a pretty big get. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You
I'm
just try to get
excited
some of
to
those
talk to him.
NSYNC guys and drive Vince crazy.
NSYNC.
Yeah.
I would love to have him on the show.
I'm sure some of them aren't doing much.
Oh, I
Who
think
are,
that some of them, they're still busy. I'm pretty sure they're
are
still
they?
busy. Yeah,
Oh,
I
just
see a lot of them on TV all the time.
one of them is the host for Family Feud. And he doesn't even host, he intros the show. He's like, "Ladies and gentlemen, Family Feud, here's your host, Steve Harvey," and that's his only job. I mean, that's his only job on the show. I don't know if he does
Really?
other stuff. Yeah, I'm
I'm
trying
not
to think of
familiar
who
with
it is.
Family Feud.
Oh man, it's so funny. You should watch it. You should try to get some comedians on. Have you ever had a comedian on before?
No, but I would like to.
Yeah, there's this, you know, I would recommend Felipe Esparza. I know him. I've met him a couple times. He's from my area, and he won Last Comic Standing,
Oh,
and
okay.
that totally made him famous.
I'll
Yeah,
follow
so
him
now
on Twitter after this.
he's out in LA and he's doing big things, and I've seen him live a few times. So if anybody, like, I'd recommend Felipe Esparza to you, because he's really, really funny, and he has a podcast too, so I'm sure he would do it.
Okay, that sounds good.
You know, have you ever thought about having like another professional model on?
Maybe.
I don't really know anybody in the industry, but
Yeah, I think that'd be a cool idea.
you get Vince Russo all excited too.
She can wear her lingerie too.
Yeah. Whose idea was that for you to interview people in lingerie?
Well, it was kind of my idea. I went
Oh,
on
was
Vince's show where Vixens Who Rule, I wore my bra there.
it? Oh,
But you
nice. Now I
can't
really gotta look
see
for
my
it.
bra though in the camera. You can't
Is that
really
why you
see
said?
it.
Is that why you started holding your phone lower so people could see
Yeah, I want people to get the
it?
whole view. It looks like I'm just wearing a regular V-neck top. I don't want it to look like that. I want people to see the full thing.
So, modeling and stuff. Where have you traveled to? Anywhere super exciting? And have you done like conventions where you do like autograph signings and stuff?
Yeah, I always do the autograph signing conventions. I did MegaFest last a few weeks ago in Massachusetts. And I've done a lot of the wrestling conventions. Are you familiar with New England Fan Fest?
I've heard of it, but I've never been there.
That was a really good one. I did Big Event in New York a few months ago. Chiller Theater, I really like doing Chiller. And I did New
So I'd
York
admit.
Comic
Go
Con
ahead.
too.
Oh wow, you did New York Comic Con?
Yeah, that was fun.
That's a big deal. Did you get paid more for a Comic Con than you do for your normal ones, or is it like, do you have like a standard rate for those?
I got paid more for Comic Con, and also I
Yeah, I
sold my
bet.
merch too, so I made even more money.
What kind of merch do you have?
Posters. I also have lighters that have my photos on them.
You should make the lighters where you turn upside down, like your clothes come off. You could be in like the lingerie afterwards, like, you know, where you're fully clothed and they flip it over and then you're like a lingerie. I don't know if they still make those or not. They used to make them for the naked ladies and stuff.
A lot of people actually grab my lighters and they think by like running their thumb over it that my clothes will come off.
Oh,
They've asked me
yeah.
about that. And I'm like, no.
So going to these different conventions and stuff, I would imagine that you meet a lot of interesting people, not just the fans, but like other autograph signees and stuff. Do you get to meet a lot of celebrities, a lot of maybe TV stars at the comic book conventions, a lot of wrestlers?
Yeah, I get to meet all of them.
What kind of people have you met?
Well, I met Chyna, like I said. I met a lot of reality stars, all different kinds of reality TV show stars. I had met. I have to think for a second. Just like shows, like people who have been on shows from back in the day, I've met a few of them. I met the guy who sings, oh, what's his name? Gary DiCarlo. I met him twice at a convention. He came to my booth twice. Are
Oh,
you
nice.
familiar with him?
I'm not, no. What is he singing? You said he sings something like that's famous.
He sings Na 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 Na, Hey Hey Hey, Goodbye. Do you know that
That's
song?
his song?
That's his song.
Oh, I know that song too well. I know that song way too well. And WWE, when somebody is getting kicked out or getting fired or leaving or whatever on in character, you know, not real life, but like in character. The fans sing that to them. So there's somebody actually, that's a real song?
Yeah,
I just know it from
it's a
wrestling.
real song.
I
The
just
name
know
of
it
the
from
band
wrestling.
is Steam, so look it up.
I definitely will. That's pretty funny, actually. So I'm sure you make a lot of connections, you know, doing this and stuff. Did you ever, when you're at the conventions, do you talk to people about your show and ask them to be on it?
I've done it a few times, but not really. I mean, I've been doing good with guests lately, but when I first started, you know, my own show without Vince, it was harder to get guests.
Yeah, Vince Russo definitely brings a credibility to the table, especially in the wrestling industry.
Yeah, I think that might be why, like, Fair Play wanted to do it. Was because
Vince... Oh, yeah, I don't think you would have gotten Fair Play without Vince. I've tried to get Fair Play. He agreed to do it, but then it never happened.
Well, why is that?
I don't know.
Where did you guys leave off? Was he busy?
We left off when he got his own podcast like a year ago or so, and he was like, oh, I don't do podcasts anymore. Sorry, everybody. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to leave this guy alone.
What do you mean he doesn't do podcasts anymore?
I think he does again.
He did my podcast 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. I think he does again. I think, because he got his own podcast for a little while, but
he
I
did?
Don't think he does it anymore. Yeah, on ProWrestling.net.
I think he had a podcast with X-Pac.
With X-Pac, yeah. That's the one. And I don't think he does it anymore, so I think if I reach out to him, I might be able to get Johnny Fairplay. I would really like to get him, I want to tell him how much my mom hated him on Survivor.
Your mom hated him?
Oh, yeah, she hated him so much. He was like the devil to her.
Why is that?
Do you know about what he did with his grandma and stuff? You do, right? Because you guys talked about it on the podcast.
Yeah, I only know that. I didn't see Survivor.
So, I didn't see it either. But basically, what happens is you're allowed a visit from somebody that comes in, you know,
from
home.
Oh, I saw that, though. I saw when
and
he
then,
lied.
Right. And his brother said that he died, the grandma died, and then everybody was, like, feeling sorry for him. And I think he got, like, a couple days off or something. And then it turns out he was lying about it. Then everybody just hated him after that. And then, in fact, I learned about this on your show. He decided that he wanted to be reality TV's first heel, which is a wrestling thing. It means a bad guy. And so he was basically the first bad guy in reality television.
Is that true?
Yeah, yeah, he definitely was. I think before Fair Play came around... everybody was just trying to be nice and everybody was just trying to look good and stuff. And then Fair Play's like, oh, I'm going to break all the rules and, you know, do my own thing. And, there's been people who have been a bad guy in reality TV since then, but I really feel like Johnny Fair Play, you know, paved the way for that.
Oh, that's interesting. I was really young when he was on Survivor.
Yeah, I never watched Survivor
so
either. I was never a fan. I could, you know what, honestly, during Survivor, I could give a crap about Johnny Fairplay, about any Survivor person. I didn't watch it. My mom did, though, and I heard of him from her cussing him out on TV. And I'm like, what's going on? She's like, Johnny Fairplay, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, who the hell is Johnny Fairplay? And then a couple years later, because I follow wrestling, a couple years later I hear his name in wrestling. I'm like, what, Johnny Fairplay, are you serious? And, you know, he was in wrestling for a while.
So is that the only reason why your mother doesn't like him?
Yeah, because he was the first real big bad guy.
But did he do anything else that was bad?
Probably. I don't know. I didn't watch it. I just know that's his big famous thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't watch Survivor. I've never actually watched it.
He's a nice guy in person.
Have you met him in person or just on the podcast?
I met him in person. We did a convention together.
Oh, that's pretty neat. How was that?
It was interesting.
I bet. Was he doing autographs too?
Yeah, he was doing autographs, but I didn't have...
And how were the fans responding to him?
I don't know. I mean, this one guy came up and, like, started taking photos of him, and, you know, he charges for people to take photos with him. So he didn't like how, like, this guy was taking photos without his permission. But he sold a decent amount.
Yeah, he's a pretty big celebrity, that guy.
Yeah. He's a big deal.
He is a big deal. He's a big get for you. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So how are you enjoying just being a podcaster in the world?
I really like talking. I like talking, I think, more than having my photo taken.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think I'm funny.
I feel like this the thing you do with Vince Russo here, it's kind of the best of both worlds because you said you enjoyed talking and then you're also a model and it's a video podcast. And so you kind of, the best of both worlds, you know, you can get yourself all prettied up and then go on Skype and do the podcast with Vince Russo.
Yeah, I mean, if only you could see my full face, bra, like not just my nose and like half my tits.
Just your nose and some cleavage. Do you have a laptop or a computer, or do you only use your phone?
I do have a laptop. I did the Alien Ant Farm on my laptop, but the camera on there's not that great.
I think if you went out and bought yourself like a, you know, a webcam, you can probably get a good one for like less than $100. Then you could get a way better shot of yourself on the show. Because Vince Russo has a camera in front of him. And what's his face? Scott Casey Gale has I think he has a laptop in front of him. And if you would go out and get yourself a USB webcam, I think you can get like more of yourself than just a little bit of your face or a little bit of your cleavage.
Well, I've been propping it up now on the stand.
Oh, that's
in my
right.
Living room.
You said that.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to check it out because I haven't seen the new episode yet.
It's definitely one you want to watch.
Yeah, Bill DeMott.
Me and Bill are so funny together.
Are you guys?
Yeah.
You guys are really good on his podcast. I saw that on YouTube also.
Mm-hmm. What did you think?
Getting
of
ready
that?
To interview you, I just typed in Sarah Russi on YouTube, and that one came up. It was really good. He was surprisingly better than I thought he would be.
Are you a fan of his?
Yes, I am. I definitely am. He's been in professional wrestling on TV since like I want to say like 95 or 96. And he recently left wrestling. He wasn't on TV. He was a trainer, but he recently left like maybe 2 years ago or so. I don't know if you guys got into that or not, but that's pretty controversial.
No, we actually didn't get into that.
That's okay. I don't know if you even want to talk about it. Especially, you know, Vince Russo's brand. Since Bill DeMott works for Vince Russo's brand, I feel like that's a safe place for him. And, you know, somebody's not going to bring up, hey, this controversy and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I feel uncomfortable asking people about controversial things. I feel like Vince can bring that up if he chooses to.
What was it like going without Vince Russo? Because he's kind of your safety net a little bit. You guys did an interview with Damon, the celebrity boxing guy. Vince Russo kind of took over a little bit. So what was it like doing a podcast without Vince?
Well, Jeff kind of opened it, and he let me introduce the guest. It went pretty well, probably because I already know Bill. So we just had a conversation.
Kind of comfort. Yeah, definitely. But I'm sure Jeff's not out there busting your balls, right?
We just had a conversation. I asked him some questions. Huh?
I said, I'm sure Jeff's not out there busting your balls, though, right?
He did a little bit. We spoke about my tweets.
I got to see this. I got to see this. What is it like for you? Like, because Vince Russo, man, he definitely can go off on people. And he's so funny, too, the way he does it. When he goes after Scott and he goes after you, how do you feel about it? Like, do you take it in stride, all in fun? Or do you kind of, like, get your feelings hurt a little bit? Like, what's it like for you to get Vince Russo roasting you?
I take it in stride. I think it's funny.
It is really funny. It's really funny just to watch. It brings an entertaining aspect on because, you know, he has you and Scott, and he kind of just, like, yells at you guys. Like, pretty much that's his whole part on that show is just to yell at you guys.
Right. I think it works well, like, the three of us.
So a year ago, I don't even know when you started doing this podcast. I'm just going to say a year ago. A year ago, podcasting wasn't even on your radar. You know, it wasn't even something that you were going to do, and now you're here, you have this successful podcast, and it's got a lot of views on YouTube and stuff like that, and I'm sure it's had even more views on thebrand.com. What's it like for you just to go from doing this modeling stuff and getting into the podcasting world?
Well, I think I've wanted to do podcasting for a while. It's something like reality TV. I've also wanted to do reality TV. So those two kind of go hand in hand. I've wanted to do reality TV since I was young.
What kind of reality TV shows do you like?
I loved Flavor of Love, Rock of Love, all of the shows on VH1 that they used to have. And I'm currently watching Family Therapy.
My friend, I used to have this friend I used to hang out with a lot. And she was into all those VH1 shows, so I was subjected to watching a lot of them, and they were so, so bad.
Oh, they were hilarious.
They were hilarious, yeah. But they were just, it was a train wreck. Do you find yourself watching Total Divas?
No.
No, never?
No.
You should check it out. It's on the E! Network.
All right, maybe I will.
It's basically, you know, like the Real Housewives kind of thing?
Yeah, I've never seen
it. It's like that, but it's WWE Divas.
I'm into shows that have a lot of drama.
Oh, there you go. Perfect. So, what do you got going on these days? Like, you have anything coming up? Any modeling shoots? Any conventions? Anything like that?
Well, I'm always doing photo shoots. I don't have any conventions planned out for the near future. I'm hoping to do car shows this summer, Hot Import Nights. I usually do that every year.
Oh, I bet that's really cool.
Yeah.
What's Hot Import Nights like for you?
I just wear my bikini and I sell my posters.
Okay, so you don't like sit on the hood of the car or anything?
If they want to take a photo of me, I charge them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You got to be like fair play. You got to learn from fair play.
Yeah, he, like, working next to him definitely helped me out. I mean, I never really did conventions before that. I didn't know that I could charge for photos. People were actually paying to take a photo with me, too, yeah. With us both together, and I was wearing my bikini. So I go to all the conventions now and wear my bikini.
How did you get into the convention scene?
Through Fairplay. And then I just I started researching conventions. And
you just book yourself?
Yeah, I work out a deal with whoever, you know. Sometimes they reach out to me, or sometimes I'll reach out to somebody who's working with the convention.
So do you have to, like, rent a table, or do they give you one? Like, how does that usually work?
Sometimes I have to rent one, or I give them a percentage of what I make.
Okay. I should go out there and get myself a table. I'm just kidding. I don't think I would make any. I don't think anybody would pay for a picture with me, though.
You should be an interviewer for conventions. That's what I want to do.
I'll sell Johnny Fairplay pictures. Oh, man, I don't know. What else? So what's going on? Like, what do you do? What do you do outside of the podcast and outside of modeling? What kind of hobbies and interests do you have?
I like to drink with friends.
Like martinis?
No, not martinis. Too strong for me. I like to cook. Can you consider that a hobby?
Yeah, I can consider that a hobby.
Like,
I mean, if you have a good time doing it.
I'm pretty basic. I mean, I just like to take walks. I like listening to music. I don't really like to go clubbing. I like to travel.
Nice. Yeah, I bet you do a lot of traveling for the modeling stuff.
Yeah.
Do you ever get, like, going to different places? Do you ever get the opportunity to like, go sightseeing or to see different things and to go cool places and hang out? Or do you just kind of go there, you do your work, and you leave?
No, I get a chance to just kind of check out the area, go places.
What are some of the exciting things that you've seen?
I haven't really seen anything exciting yet.
Not yet?
No.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure one day you're going to do some modeling in Paris, and you'll be able to go see the Eiffel Tower.
That would be cool.
All right, Sarah. Well, thank you very much for stopping by and hanging out. It was really an honor to talk to you. Like I said, I watch you on YouTube. I watch Beauty and the Beast. It's really fun to watch. You guys have a great dynamic, the three of you. You and Scott and Vince. So, I can't wait to see the new episode. I can't wait to see it. Do you put them up yourself, or does Vince puts them up, right?
Vince puts them up.
Okay. Yeah, I can't wait to see it. It's pretty exciting.
Thank you.
You want to go ahead and cover plug your Twitter and other social media, whatever you have?
Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can find me by my name, Sarah Rusi. And make sure you check out my show once a week. It's called Beauty and the Beast with Vince Russo and Scott Casey Yale. And it's hilarious. So you better check it out.
It is hilarious. Go watch it on YouTube, or hey, go to the brand. I don't know if you know the subscription information for the brand, but if you do, go ahead and plug that.
I'm not sure of it, but it's also on iTunes, so if you want to hear audio clips, it's on iTunes too.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's pretty neat. Is the entire show on iTunes, or is it clips of it?
The entire episodes. I only have about 4 episodes up so far, but I'll put up the rest soon.
It's definitely a show that people want to see, just because it's. I think the visuals of the show kind of add to it.
I mean, especially if you like tits, then yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, I don't know who controls like what cameras that we see, but like it goes to like Scott Gale Casey, and he's like doing weird stuff in the background, not paying attention, and you know it goes to you, and it goes back to Vince, and it's really fun. It really is. Good time. Welcome back to the podcast. I would like to thank Miss Sarah Russi for stopping by. She was really awesome, really fun to talk to. We had got a lot of good laughs, me and Sarah. So, yeah, Sarah Russi, go follow her on Twitter at Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, Russi, R-U-S-S-I. And go check her out on YouTube and thebrand.com, Beauty and the Beast, featuring Sarah Russi, Scott Casey Gale, and one Vince Russo. It's a really fun show. They have a good chemistry, like I said. They've had a lot of good guests. Bill DeMott was on there and a few other people. So go check it out. The Beauty and the Beast. You can find it on YouTube. If you like it, subscribe to thebrand.com. That's Vince Russo's website. They have all kinds of other stuff on there. You can also find Vince Russo every single day on Podcast One. And if you go back into the archives of Gorick.net, Gorick Report Podcast, they did an amazing interview with Vince Russo like about a month or two ago. It was wonderful. I really enjoyed it, just listening to Vince Russo be interviewed by these guys, Steve Gorick and Frank D of Gorick.net. So go ahead and dig into the archives of Gorick.net. Check out Vince Russo, the interview, and then check out Vince Russo's The Brand on Podcast One and on thebrand.com. I think that's his website. I don't know. I'm not paid to plug Vince Russo, so I don't know, but I think that's what it is. Anyways, I said I wasn't getting to their WWE releases. They had a release party today, and I'm going to go ahead and get into that right now. I guess let's just go one by one. First on the list is Hornswoggle. Hornswoggle was a comedy character. He was a midget, a little guy-ish, a small person, whatever you want to call him. He was a comedy character from all of his career, I think. He was Vince's illegitimate son. He was a member of D-Generation X. He's done some pretty big things in the WWE. He was the last ever Cruiserweight champion, which kind of disappointed me. I think I was there when he beat Chavo Guerrero one of the times, because I think he beat Chavo a bunch of times. But I think I was there once when he beat Chavo Guerrero, so that's always cool. Also, I think he's going to do well in autograph signings and in appearances. I don't think he's going to TNA. I don't think he's going to Ring of Honor. I don't think he'll be on TV anytime soon or at all. But I think he will do well on the indie scene, making appearances, maybe having a couple matches. His WLC match was really good. And I think Hornswoggle was over with the kids, and now he is going by Swoggle. Book him for your local indie show and make him some money. Next on the list is Alex Riley. Alex Riley, a real name Kevin Kiley, was released by the WWE. This wasn't a surprise, you know. He was he just came back from an injury. I think he taped a match against Shinsuke Nakamura coming up. So I don't know why they would put him in such an important role and then release him. Sorry, I'm getting distracted. Alex Riley never really amounted to much. He was the Miz's sidekick, and that was kind of his best time in WWE. It was fun. It was cool when he was the Miz's sidekick. I really enjoyed it. But now he is gone, and I don't know. Do you think Alex Riley would go to TNA? I feel like he's done. Like he's gonna leave wrestling because he wasn't. He didn't seem like he was a wrestling fan. He seemed like he was a WWE guy, and that was it. So we'll see what happens with Alex Riley in the future. I'm kind of excited to see if he stays in wrestling or not. You know, another name on the list was El Torito. El Torito has not been on television since they decided to repackage Los Matadors. They repackaged them a few months ago, and El Torito has been off TV ever since. So I guess if they're getting rid of the Matadors, they might as well get rid of his bull, El Torito. So, you know, he could do some stuff. He can go back to Mexico. He was a midget wrestler out of Mexico originally, and I think he can go back to doing what he was doing pre-WWE. He'll probably do that. I don't think he's going to go to conventions and dress up like a... I don't think he's going to go to conventions dressed up like a bull. I really don't think that's going to happen, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. King Barrett, a.k.a. Wade Barrett, a.k.a. Bad News Barrett, was also released. But this one also wasn't a surprise because, you know, we all knew he was leaving the company. He announced publicly... or I think he announced publicly, it came out somehow, that he was not planning on renewing his contract. And he even released a statement saying that he knew August of last year he wasn't going to renew his contract. It's so crazy. Like, Wade Barrett, like, they could have done so many things with him. He could have been a world champion. He really could have been. He's in the Drew Galloway category where... he could have been, but he just didn't. They just didn't do it. They never pulled the trigger. They never had that much faith in the guy for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know why. But I can see Wade Barrett going to TNA. I could see him maybe taking some time off. And I could even see him joining TNA on their next UK tour. And when they come back from UK, he'll come back with them. And I could see Wade Barrett doing some hefty damage in TNA. Drew Galloway is their babyface champion at the moment. And I could see Wade Barrett and Drew Galloway having a huge feud. I guess he would go by Stu Bennett. Stu Bennett versus Drew Galloway. That would be amazing. I would love to see that. I mean, I probably won't see it because it's TNA. But I would love to read about it online. I really would. Who is next? Santino Marella was released. Santino... this one also wasn't a surprise because Santino's been retired for about 2 years now with a neck injury. And I don't know what he was doing, you know. What was he doing for the company for the past 2 years? I don't know. But he's already moved on in life. He has a wrestling/MMA school called Battle Arts up in Canada, I think. I don't know where it is. But yeah, so he's doing his own thing. He's doing well for himself. So I think his future is just to continue doing what he's doing. And he's on the right path. Cameron, the former Funkadactyl, was released today. I think she's been unhappy for a little while. Maybe she's not getting paid as much as she would like, or she thought she was going to get paid. Ryback did a big thing. I was going to talk about Ryback, but I forgot. I'll talk about Ryback in a minute. Ryback released a big statement, and Cameron completely agreed with him. She tweeted, "Hell yeah, preach it, brother." I don't know what she said. That's just my paraphrasing. But she tweeted him agreeing with him about whatever he said, and we'll get into that a little bit later. It's about a money issue, and she agreed. And so you could tell that her publicly agreeing with Ryback in a situation that he probably shouldn't have went public with, that she's probably unhappy with the company. And she wasn't doing much. My favorite moment with her was that match she had with Asuka, where Asuka just like got her in that armbar. Just whoop, bam. You guys have seen it, right? You guys have seen it. I don't want to forget anybody. I should look at a list. Damian Sandow was released. This one, I wasn't surprised, but I was really, really disappointed. I feel like Sandow is somebody who they should have kept. Sandow, oh, here's my list. Barrett, Sandow, Santino, Cameron, Hornswoggle, Alex Raleigh, El Torito, and Sub Coulter. Okay. Sandow was so talented. I remember when he was doing his impressions, he came out as Damien the Hitman Sandow and Damien McMandow. And he was doing all these impressions, and he's so charismatic. He's so funny. He's so over with the crowd. This is a huge mistake on their part. I mean, I guess it was a huge mistake to not push this guy to the moon. You know, the Macho Mandow. Come on, you guys. This is great stuff. He was Money in the Bank a couple years ago. He cashed in against John Cena, and he lost. It was a really good match, and I thought that when he ended up losing to John Cena, that it would... It would help his career, but it didn't. Apparently, it didn't. So Damien Sandow has been released. This guy can do anything he wants. He can go to TNA. He can go. He could leave wrestling. I don't know. He's been in the WWE for like over 10 years. Okay, Aaron the Idol Stevens and stuff like that. So I feel like Damien Sandow could just go. And I mean, you know, if he wants to go to TNA, then he can go to TNA. No matter what, where this guy goes, TNA, Ring of Honor. Progress, like whatever he does, he is going to be money. And I feel like WWE left a lot of money on the table with this guy, with not doing anything with him. And of course, there's Zeb Coulter, Dutch Mantel, who is announced for Global Force Wrestling event. What can you say about Zeb Coulter? You know, he ran his course. He had a good run. I feel like they wasted him with the whole Alberto Del Rio Mex America thing, but whatever. I mean, what can you really say about Zeb Coulter? You know what I mean? Okay, let me see if I can find Ryback's statement. It was really long too. So Ryback, he came out on the pre-show. Like I talked about the pre-show earlier for Payback, Ryback came out onto the pre-show. And his weight belt said, the pre-show stopper. He's really sick and tired of being on the pre-show, you guys. I could just tell. Do I have his statement? You know, I probably should have had it handy. But you know me. I don't do that kind of thing. Okay, I'm going to look for the statement really quick. Give me a second here. I'm going to type in Ryback. Ryback rules. Ryback rules. I typed in Ryback rules and I got a picture of. I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. This is great radio, you guys. Where's this statement? Here we go. Okay, this is what Ryback had to say a couple days ago. He said, today I sit and I fly home for the first time in years. I feel absolutely free. I will start off by saying I did request to be taken off of WWE television until myself and Vince could get a yes or no on a new deal. This has been going on since my IC title run and had been nothing but a major strain on my life, as all I ever wanted to do was work for the WWE. I was told to head home until we agree or not agree to specific terms. And contrary to reports, it isn't over money or a bus. That stuff was settled a while ago. It comes down to a major problem I have with not only WWE, but wrestling in general. Wrestling is predetermined. We as performers know before we go out to the ring or perform a backstage scene who is winning and losing, etc., or have a general idea of what we are going to say. It blows my mind how in a sport which is predetermined from a company standpoint, winners are paid so much more than the losers. Every single person who works for WWE from top to bottom is absolutely just as valuable as the next. The winners cannot win unless the losers go out there and agree to lose to them. It blows my mind that in this day and age, though we still adhere to this formula, obviously things have not always been this way. Obviously, things have always been this way. But does that make them right? Times have changed, and our goal as humans should be to evolve and learn from our past and the past of others so we could make this world a better place. Why is it a guy who is told he is going to go out and lose does everything he is told to be paid, not only less, but much less than every single winner over a period of time. Every single performer for WWE sacrifices the same amount of time from their home and their families, and every single man or woman goes out and does what they are told. Looking at this formula, though, losers turn into what fans like to call jobbers, and their value decreases in the company's eyes, and before you know it, they get released. For what? For doing exactly what they are told? Hence Damian Sandow right there. Why not pay the talent equally? The winners have more merch, as it is, or are we supposed to anyways, so they get, the winners have more merch, or they are supposed to anyways, so they get the extra perk. But why make the guy who is told and agrees to lose earn less and sacrifice spots in big pay-per-view matches? This is one of the major problems with wrestling and WWE today. Most guys take great satisfaction helping make other talent. The bitching and the moaning we always hear about stems from the fact that they know they are ultimately over time going to make less and live in fear of being released. I am proud to say I have never gone to change a finish and have gladly took pride in helping put over other talent. Hell, look at my pay-per-view record of 12 wins and 26 losses, and you will see that has been the pattern of my career. I have always been confident in my ability and work ethic to being my best every day, and ultimately always felt that by doing good, it was the right thing to do. Personally, seeing my money go down over the years, though, even though I was working as much as ever and being denied magazine covers and other projects, as well as watching my role diminish, no matter what I did or how hard I tried, it's toll on a human being told no matter how hard I work or how good I get, it doesn't always pay off. It's something I fucking refuse to ever believe in my life. I am a creative being and told to be restricted time and time again is no way to live life. There is nothing I cannot do, and I know no matter what comes from the situation, I am going to be just fine. It isn't solely about money. It is about commitment. Commitment to a guy who fucking cares and who loves this more than anything in the world and wants to know that his passion and efforts and his determination to constantly improve is going to be recognized and taken care of. WWE may very well release me, which if it is the case, then so be it. If we can work things out, a lot needs to change, as I am not living in fear and creatively cannot continue to live a life that limits me creatively. I have many other interests and passions and have been very smart with my finances over the years. I thank every WWE superstar from top to bottom for their sacrifices and for working with me. The world is an amazing place, and there is more than just a WWE universe. There is the universe, and I will prove one way or another. Over time, I am the greatest big guy in the universe. There you have it. Ryback. Ryback statement, you guys. That's Ryback. That's what Ryback says. Ryback rules. It's silly. It's silly. I don't know. I feel like he agrees to a contract at a certain amount of money, and that's what he gets. I don't know how it works. That's what I always thought. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe his contract does go down. But I always thought that, you know, at the beginning of the contract, you agree this much per appearance, and then either you have appearances or you don't, and then you get paid or you don't, you know? I don't think he should be making John Cena money. He doesn't do what John Cena does, you know? And every wrestler makes a different amount of money. Look at the Forbes thing. They did the top 10 paid wrestlers. John Cena, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose. They were at the top of the list. Triple H. You know, they're all up there. And that's just the way it is with wrestling, Ryback. And, I don't know. I feel like he's right about his character diminishing over the years, which is kind of sad, you know, but that's just the way it is. People come, people go in professional wrestling, and then you got the CM Punks of the world, the people you make fun of. You know, I really feel like Ryback could have learned a lot from CM Punk as far as just how to carry himself and how to be a professional wrestler. All right, you guys. Well, I gotta go. I'm tired. I'm about to fall asleep right here on the podcast. I'll talk to you soon. I'll talk to you next week. I got some more great stuff planned for you, and we'll do it next week. So peace out. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for leaving positive feedback on iTunes, and thank you for being you, you crazy MFRU. Peace out, you guys. Oh, and by the way, go check out this show and all kinds of other shows on GERWCK.net.